Let's begin. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Then I, John, from the island of Patmos, saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth, our earth, were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now listen closely. And I heard a great voice from the heaven say, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now the reason why I brought you here. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall not be any more death, nor sorrow, or crying, neither shall there be any more pain, because the former things have passed away, our physical system. Brethren, this just defined what a utopia is. He's going to have our great God. God's utopia is now going to be existing, and we will be there. I looked up utopia, and it means an imagined place. That's the first definition, an imagined, meaning they can't obtain it. But God can, or a state of things in which everything is perfect. Only then will mankind be transformed, the ones that are harvested, that were on the good soil, will obtain perfection into a utopia. Don't we want a utopia? Now the Bible, this instruction manual, tells us how to obtain utopia land. It's an acronym, Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. You can also say basic instructions before living eternally. That's what it is. We are in a simulation that has passed away at this time, no need of it anymore. And now we're going to tap into a magnificent understanding, a great hope. Let's go to Genesis 1 now, in the beginning of our earth, of our universe. Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, that's in the physical area, and indeed, it was exceedingly good. Doesn't say perfect. It says good. And each of these days, he says this. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now go to the next chapter, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth, the simulator, the physical, were finished in all the host of them. This is not God's realm. This is earth, his footstool. This is his throne, which is the heavens. And it says, and by the beginning of the seventh day, God finished his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, only that day, only the seventh day, because on it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Now, why did he do this? This is the magnificent golden nugget that's coming. Why did he make a day set aside, sanctified it, holy, invite you to come into it? That's why you're here today. And in Hebrews it says, the reason we will one day enter into his rest, his realm, his kingdom, his utopia. So God in the very beginning, in the simulation, the physical, the entropy, the corruptible, set on the seventh day a hope. So since Adam, it's a hope keeping the Sabbath. Isaac lives, looks forward to the Sabbath. The kingdom's coming. Moses looks up for this kingdom. All the way to Jesus, the apostles, the saints living now. We all look forward to today, this hope. But there's more. There's going to be a Sabbath next week. It's our hope. It's coming. The kingdom's coming. So here's the golden nugget. You ready? Why would God ever have a Sabbath in his utopia? The Sabbath pictures the utopia. Once we enter the utopia, there's no need of something future for the utopia, what it pictures. That's what God's holy days do. And one day all will be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, it says. Interesting, it's Revelation 21, how we opened. But not one jot and tittle will be taken away from the law, which is the Sabbath, until all has passed away. See? So you know with this piece of knowledge that if God comes here and sets up a millennium, they'll keep the Sabbath, won't they? Why? Because they got to look up, look towards the kingdom, put God in their lives, right? The same struggles. Will there be death in the millennium?
Yes.
It says in Isaiah that even the sinner will die at 100 years old. That doesn't sound like utopia. But yet, many in the Church of God think that is utopia. You look up articles, utopia, the lion and the lamb. Yes, in a physical land. Deserts turned into the gardens of Eden. But even that will be destroyed. It's a type. So you have to understand God's vision. And his vision ultimately is to have us live where he is living. In his spiritual kingdom, God's utopia. Let's go to John 14. Jesus understood. He said, where did he come from? Did he say he came from here? He said he came from there. He went through the door, didn't he? He said, I am the door. And he told you to do what? Store up treasures here because God's realm is going to be here? He said, no, store up treasures there. John 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Let's go to verse 4. And where I am going, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How then can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way to utopia. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Let's go to John 16, verse 33. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. In this world, the one John says passed away, this world, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. Here you always have tribulation, but be courageous. I have overcome the world. And through Christ, he wants you to overcome the world. So why? So one day, you can have peace. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Where does that happen? On this system? This physical? No. The corruptible shall put on incorruptibility. God's system. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creation, that's not ours. That's the new heavens. Itself is awaiting. Please come, saints. Come to through the door. Go through the door and enter into the new earth. Come to us. Not the simulation, the physical, the one that's going to pass away. Don't be fooled by those that teach the opposite because they love this world so much. They got to uphold it. And that's all they see. It's earthly thinking. Go to Christ who is heavenly thoughts. And it says here is awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God because the creation, that's the creature, was subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected it in hope. Now we have hope in order that the man, this is the man when you look it up, the man itself might be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Christ overcame the world so we can. Into what? Freedom! What commandment do you think of when you think about freedom? The Holy Sabbath day. He sanctified it. That's called true freedom. It points to a time which will be God's utopia. This is not in the system. It is not here, brethren. We seek the things above. Freedom of the glory of the children of God. Let's go to Matthew 6. 6:33 we read, "But as for you, seek," remember, "diligently, seek it first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." You'll get by here in the system. "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take care of the things of itself. Sufficient for the day is the evil of that day." In the simulation, there will always be evil in it. You have to even overcome yourself. Remember Paul. The apostle understood to look up. His writings talk about looking up. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15? And he said, "I die daily." Keep your head up, brethren. This system is not meant to be utopia. And those that we read in 2 Timothy 2, two men named, they believe the resurrection already occurred. That it's utopia here. And utopia is here, and they're very physical minded. Do not listen to their words. They are empty. They are vain. But our great God has heavenly thoughts. And that's what we tap into. We diligently study about the goal of living where? Living where, brethren? In the kingdom, God's utopia. We should be excited about God's utopia. It solves a big problem with mankind, doesn't it? Because mankind fails. In Jeremiah 10:23, it says, "I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps." Remember, Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and life." The way to where? God's utopia. Man doesn't understand this. He fails. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. "Now after the imprisonment of John, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time has been fulfilled. The kingdom of God," or God's utopia, "is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." You know why it's at hand? Because today you live this day. Remember, he says, concentrate on the day right now. Your life could end in a nanosecond. The world lost a big celebrity in Kobe Bryant 6 days ago. It shocked many. And that happens. A relative could die. And it shocks you. Because each day is a gift. All you can control is what you're breathing right now. This very hour. And God is telling us, it's at hand. It is. Life is a vapor. This might be your last day living. Living for what? Basic instructions before living eternally. Your last opportunity to live for utopia, to show God, "I want it, I desire it, I live it, I'm your vessel, I'm your shining light, I'm your example." That's what we do, brethren. That's why he preached the good news. Now, is that really good news? What's the best news you can think of? You're all dying and you have a chance to live in a utopia where there's no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. Can you think of greater news? God's utopia is coming, and it's coming to a theater near you. And guess what? When it comes, when you go to that theater, all the seats will be filled. It's sold out! And they'll be knocking, let us in! Like the five wicked, lazy virgins. Let us in! I want a ticket! I want to see the show! There will be a time, which we read about, let the righteous be righteous still. Let the wicked be wicked still. They're done. There's no more day. No more extra time. So what are you doing with your time? You know, redeeming the time. That's in the Bible. We must redeem our time. It's precious. Every single moment. To live for what? Utopia. So we could be there and serve the Almighty Father who put this all together. Now try to pull that one off. It's a mind blower that God is going to pull off utopia, where there's going to be billions of beings, angelic beings, interacting, trillions of conversations going on, right? Trillions! And not one sin. He's going to pull this off. Can we comprehend that? As physical beings? You know what the opposite of utopia is? It's dystopia. And that's mankind. Mankind has an opportunity to have a utopia. When I went to college in 1988 at Moore Park College, I had a history class. And I remember the professor. He told us, he showed us, every race, there's five main races. And every race has had an opportunity in the last 6,000 years to rule. How did it go? Governments have had a chance. How did you do, Babylon, the head of gold? How did you do, Persia, Greece, Rome? Now many question that we're not living in the end time. I have additional information for you regarding the study for God's utopia that proves we're in the end time. You ready? God has always given warning, hasn't he? When Noah lived, how many went on the boat? 8. He preached for many years, repent, get on the boat. How many of that crowd listened? 0. He warned them. So when they're resurrected, they go, you never told us. Could they say that? God has always gave warnings, even to Adam. Eat of that tree, you'll die. Always. So you look at mankind, every race, they can never say, we, the yellow people, we, the black people, and so forth. Never can say, we didn't have an opportunity. So it's always taken place. So now, God's genius. At the very end, he has a nation called America. We, the people, the melting pot. The blacks, the yellows, the whites, the reds, all the colors. There's 5. And they come together. They will achieve utopia. We are in the last stages of Rome. We have a Congress fighting with each other. We have a divided kingdom, Jesus said, shall not stand. We want utopia through we, the people, but we will fail. But God gives the opportunity, doesn't he? That's a proof we're closer to the end time. You ever thought about that? God will exhaust every opportunity, but it will fail. So it doesn't end there. Even at the very end, Satan himself, the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, is allowed to go into a man, the man of sin, the head of the beast power. And what does he do? He brings a dystopia in the form of a utopia. And we read there in Daniel 9:27 that it will be for 7 years. And the first 3.5 years is peaceful. He's achieved it, right? 3.5 years, how long can this be? But it ends. In the midst, he goes to Jerusalem. Interesting, the city of peace. Is it peaceful there? He calls at the end time, Jerusalem, also known as Sodom in Egypt. That Jerusalem is not the one. It's the model that has failed. The man Adam has failed in the model. But Jesus hasn't. The new Jerusalem above is the kingdom of peace. And that's where utopia will be. My point here is, nations have failed. Races have failed. Even Satan himself in a one world system will fail. Then, the Battle of Armageddon. The Day of Trumpets. Jesus comes back to the simulation and takes over this earth. And then after 9 days, we have atonement. That great serpent, the devil, has deceived the whole world, thinking they're in utopia, but they're not. Is bound for 1,000 years. Then the millennium will happen, correct? And this is a model, a type. It is not God's utopia. It is God's kingdom and his laws on earth, correct? But will there be pain? Will there be sorrow? Yes. Man will die. You could read that. It's in Isaiah 65. So after the 1,000 years are finished, we read in Revelation chapter 20, the rest of the dead are raised. Yeah. The billions that have lived. And they will think they're in utopia, right? I'm in heaven. But are they in heaven? They're on a physical earth. Now many, even in the church, will argue with this, these words. We read in 2 Timothy 2, there were some that said the resurrection already occurred. We're here, the kingdom's here. They're wrong. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Are they raising up flesh and blood? Yes, Ezekiel 37, the dry bone chapter, see new to see new. They then have to learn and put on Christ before they can be trusted to live in utopia. They are given a 100-year period, a perfect amount of time to have a harvest of souls. God's plan is magnificent. Now let's go to Isaiah 26, because we'll prove this is not God's utopia. I have proof in Scripture. You listen to most preach the Bible, they point to the millennium, the kingdom. It's as high as they look, the millennium, the millennium, the millennium, the millennium. Christ, show me where he just looked towards the millennium. He pointed through the door, God's realm, storing up treasures in God's house. I want to believe Christ. Isaiah 26, with my soul I desired you in the night. Yes, with my spirit within me, I will seek you earnestly. For when your judgments are in the earth, the people of the world will learn righteousness. They will learn the ways of God here. We will be their teachers. Isaiah also said, the way to go to the right or way to go to the left. They'll hear the teacher's voice. They will learn to put on Christ. Now, how can he have a utopia? No more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. If they're learning righteousness, falling, getting back up, some rebelling. Even at the end of this, you have Gog and Magog. You have Satan let out. This is not utopia. Seek the things above, brethren. Everything you read in the manual, look up to God's realm. When you read Jerusalem, think new Jerusalem. When you look at an animal, a lion, think an angelic lion. When you see a human being, think the future. Don't lust after him or her. Think of their potential. This is one that looks up. Everything, every waking moment Christ lived was like that. That's why he never sinned. His mind wasn't in the gutter. It wasn't on earth. God's utopia is coming. Let's go to Isaiah 52, verse 1. Awake, awake, Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful robes, the righteousness of the saints. O Jerusalem, the holy city, for never again shall come to you the uncircumcised and the unclean ones. Circumcision should be where? In your heart. Because without allowing God's Spirit to shape and mold you, you will never obtain utopia. That's why this earth is meant to be physical. And it will all burn up in 2 Peter 3. And it will be for the ungodly. The question is, do you want to put on Christ? Then we will teach those how to obtain a life in utopia. There's no stealing in the kingdom. There's no lying in the kingdom. There's no coveting in the kingdom. So we live life like that now as ambassadors. Our conversation should be where? In the kingdom. Where we will live. God's utopia is coming. And we should be excited about it. In the last verse, let's go to Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you yourselves shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That power to enable you to grow in Christ Jesus, to grow in the mind, so you can start thinking like Him, to become like Him. So one day that you can be transformed, just like the monarch butterfly, the metamorphosis, or putting on a new creature, a new body, and living where? Living where? In God's utopia. I pray and hope, brethren, as a teacher, that the words of God that I preach penetrate your mind and allow God's power to work inside you, to shine more and more onto the perfect utopia, God's utopia.